hear a Vinnie White podcast. Vinnie White is a British radio announcer living and working in the capital of Canada, in Ottawa. He does his thing on 93.9 Bob FM on your radio and 939BobFM.com online. More podcasts, a link to subscribe to the podcast in iTunes, and just general information on Vinnie can be found at www.vinniewhite.co.uk. Spelled VinnieWhite.co.uk. Now enjoy some recent snippets of that lovable, daft radio monkey that is Vinnie White.
93.9 Bob FM, do you like coffee? A Brooklyn coffee shop is offering customers a coffee with 10 shots of espresso in a single serving. It's banned to those aged 40 and over. It's been given the nickname Porn in a Cup. 10 shots of espresso. The official name of the beverage is Daiichi, the Italian for 10. It went on sale at the Pulp and Bean in Brooklyn yesterday. Shop owner Tony Fisher, 37. Said sales were brisk, in part because, and this is a quote, "Nobody's ever had the chutzpah to do anything like this before," he said. "This is for a person who wants to experience the limits of where coffee and espresso can go." The drink weighs about 20 ounces. He says, "Sometimes I'll drink a double espresso and I say to myself, I need another double. And another double will turn into another double. And I say, why not fill the cup?" I don't know where he's from. "So I do. And that's when I invented this drink. I won't sell it to anybody in their 40s and up," he says. "I just give them the alternative. A double espresso. I could handle it. Decaffeinated." Tonight, cloudy period to low of minus 8 overnight. Tomorrow's Friday, which is always good news. So much so, I can't seem to control myself, and I have to say, woohoo! Hello, family.
Hello.
Woohoo! Nice to have you here, and a rather weird moment for me on my in my on-air career to have my entire family. My mum, hello, mum.
Hello there.
My nephew, hello, nephew. my sister Claudia, hello.
Hi there.
Eleanor, hello.
Hi.
And Ali, my brother.
Hello.
I hope it's not rude bringing my entire family onto my radio show. I know it's sort of a little bit narcissistic, and I am aware of that, but they are very lovely, apart from the little one. Hello, cheeky monkey. What's he doing?
He's pointing to all the things around.
Oh, bless him.
Yes.
Got an email here since you've come on. A few people have emailed in and said some very complimentary things. One of the emails is from Cheryl. She says, "Lucky you, it sounds like you have a totally awesome family." I would agree with Cheryl on that.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Clearly.
Nicholas, it's not an ice cream, it's a microphone.
I'd like to hear today, please, anything by REM.
Okay, yeah, I can do that.
Yeah, that'd be super.
Well, since the Koreans are going at each other, how shall we, how does the end of the world sound?
Oh, that sounds perfect. That'll do just fine.
Thanks a lot, buddy. Oi, North Korea, Pyongyang, everyone in the Korean Workers' Party, Kim Jong-il, calm down. That's great, it starts with... So the United States of America, financially broke, burdened with trillions of dollars of debt. What does it need? Well, it needs an ark, like Noah's Ark. Only it needs an ark with dinosaurs on it. The Creation Museum in Kentucky plans to build a full-scale wooden replica of Noah's Ark based on the biblical descriptions. Now, the exhibits in the museum at the moment, the Creation Museum in Kentucky, claim that Earth and all of its life forms were created 6,000 years ago over a six-day period. Humans and dinosaurs, therefore, once actually coexisted, according to the Creation Museum. Indeed, they actually believe that dinosaurs were on the original Noah's Ark. So, $24.5 million are being invested to build an ark. It will be constructed with the same team that built the Creation Museum itself, or creationists. It will be paid for with online donations from fellow creationists. Now, the Creation Museum has attracted enormous criticism in the past from hundreds of academic and religious groups for consistently rejecting scientific knowledge, such as, of course, the theory of evolution. But they are going ahead. They're going to build a massive $24.5 million wooden ark. And maybe, if there is a massive flood, they can use the ark to ride it out. And then when the vast expanse of water disappears, they can build a science museum.
Now, Bob FM presents An Exercise in Befuddlement, the only contest where an inaccurate response is the requisite retort, whether it's hip to air and wrong to be right.
And if you can follow that claptrap,
then you're ready to play Wrong is Right.
And there she is. She's very keen. Her name is Tamara Hampton. Hello, Tamara.
Hello.
Now, you're looking after a one-year-old, a four-year-old, a five-year-old, a six-year-old, a nine-year-old, which to me sounds like hell, but it's your daily life.
That's why I like that question this morning about what do you buy your school teacher?
Yes.
I forgot about the babysitters.
Yeah, you should also buy your babysitters maybe an LCBO gift certificate.
Absolutely.
For $200, ideally.
Maybe three of them.
Yeah.
Or five of them.
There you are. Tamara, the alcoholic childcare assistant there. Oh, Tamara, you're lovely. What, is this your normal life, looking after all these kids?
Absolutely, yep.
Oh, it must be intense, isn't it?
Oh, it's fantastic. I love it.
You've got a very good radio voice, I would say.
Why, thank you very much.
Look at that. She's all right.
Mm-hmm.
Do you fancy leaving, Chris? She can do the traffic.
I think I might have to call your boss now.
Change
careers.
Yeah, okay. It's an open door policy here.
Working in radio is like looking after children most of the time.
Yeah. As you can hear from the quality of this show, the standards aren't high, so I wouldn't worry. Right then, your three questions are about musicals today, Tamara, and do try and get these wrong. Who said supercalifragilisticexpialidocious?
Annie.
Is correct. What animal predominantly features in The Lion King?
A dog.
A dog is correct. And in West Side Story, there was a massive song that was called I Wanna Live In What?
I Wanna Live In My Shed.
Oh, you're fantastic. Thanks a lot. You've won loads of stuff. Hang on the line.
Perfect. Thank you.
Ed. Ed. Going to Australia, New Zealand, and I think Fiji as well. I'm very lucky. I've been saving for quite some time. I basically can't handle another winter. That's basically what's happening. And I haven't got any children, so I thought, right. Out of Dodge.
You're going to love it so much. My parents, every year for 22 years, went to New Zealand, Fiji, and Australia to visit my aunt.
Mm.
Every year for 22 years. My mother was 65 years old in New Zealand on her birthday, and she parasailed, and she said the thighs were just flapping, and she microlighted, she mountain climbed, and she sailed square rigging boats in the North Sea.
She sounds like she did the same walk that the hobbits did.
Oh, you're just going to so love it.
Thank you. GPS being placed inside Jesus is the headline here. There's more than a higher power guarding the baby Jesus on many public displays for the holidays. There are also GPS units. Many churches in North America and many synagogues in North America that display holiday scenes are taking a high-tech approach to the old holiday tradition, theft. What they're doing is they're embedding Jesus figures, menorahs, Santa statues with GPSs, global positioning systems. So you can satellite track the devices if they're stolen. A church in Illinois, for example, is installing the devices in each of the figures in its 40-year-old nativity scene. GPS units have been placed inside Joseph, Mary, Jesus, one wise man, a camel, a donkey, and a sheep. The precautions have been taken as a result of thefts that have increased over the last few years. A few years ago, two wise men were stolen from that very church. They were later found on a ski slope, says the church reverend. Okay. How high do you have to be to go skiing with 2 6-foot plastic wise men? That must have been an excellent night. There is no doubt about it. I'm almost a bit jealous. I've never been skiing with so much as a baby Jesus.
Attention. potential for some flurries maybe a little bit later in the week.
Should I probably put my snow tires on at some point?
Yes. Yeah. Mine are already on.
Yeah, but you're German.
I don't even know what that means.
You're very organized people. It was a backward compliment. This is the Red Hot Chili Peppers on Bob. Yeah, I'm a bit sort of put off because I just saw someone else walk past the studio window with a moustache who doesn't normally have one. All this will finish tomorrow. Can you believe it's December tomorrow, which means it's the end of Movember, which means these people that have been stalking the building, because they don't walk, they stalk, these moustache holders, can get rid of their moustaches. It's unbelievable, the amount of people in this building. I don't know if it's just because it's media or this is the most popular Movember ever. But boys, and I mean boys, that shouldn't grow moustaches in this building have been growing them. The whole place has looked like some hellish 70s pornography movie. But all the moustaches will be coming off tomorrow. It's the end of Movember. But having said all of that, it's been fantastic and it's raised an awful lot of awareness for prostate cancer, which is, of course, the point in Movember. So congratulations to everyone that has brazenly gone through November with their newfound friend, their moustache. As my friend said to me the other day, he said, there's something very important about prostate cancer. I just can't put my finger on it. Have you ever woken up in the morning and thought, oh, I don't know, it's just another day, I need to do something different. What can I do? Oh, I know, I'll get 100,000 tattoos. Have you ever thought of that? Of course you have. Who hasn't? Yeah, you haven't. Nor have I, and nor have most people. But I know a man who has, and he's from Montreal. Patrick Valencourt wanted to break a world record. This one will certainly stay with him forever. Over the next year, the 29-year-old man from Montreal will have 100,000 internet addresses tattooed on his body. He said, I woke up one morning and just felt like taking up the challenge. I'm not an athlete, and I can't run like a gazelle, but I do have the guts to get tattooed. That's a weird thing to say, isn't it? To justify your actions for anything, for that matter. It's not entirely relevant. Might as well just say, I don't work in a cheese shop, and I haven't got a squid, but I do want to get tattoos. Do you know what I mean? Anyway. He said, I'm not an athlete and I can't run like a gazelle, but I do have the guts to get tattooed. He says, I want to break a Guinness World Record, but more importantly, I want to help others, and this is my way of doing so. Now, in his defence, I have to say he's being very charitable about it. You see, what's happening is businesses are donating money to the man to have their website address included in the project, i.e. included in a tattoo on his body. And then all the proceeds are being donated to Care Canada, and which is a very warming and very wonderful, actually, international aid agency. So, yeah, I mean, if you own a business and you want it tattooed on this guy, fill your boots. He's got a Twitter and a Facebook page. Who hasn't? And you can go and look him up. His name's Valencourt, and he's going to have 100,000 website addresses stamped all over his body. I know he woke up one morning and said, I just feel like a challenge. I am a little worried that he'll wake up one morning and think, what the hell have I done? But each to their own. Isn't it great that we're all so different? I'm a nice man. I wouldn't say I'm the nicest man in the world by any means, but I am quite a nice man. I think I've got my morals and principles in some sort of order, just about. I think... mostly. Probably. Let's move on. I think I'm all right. The point I'm telling you this is for this following reason. At the moment, as I may have mentioned, I have my family visiting me from England. Amongst them, at the moment, they haven't all arrived yet, but amongst them so far, my sister and my sister's baby. My sister's baby is two. I also have my mother. And, yeah, that's it for now. So today we go shopping. Yeah. Okay, now we went to the supermarket. And as you know, in Ontario, you can't buy booze in a supermarket because you can't be trusted. No. So, they went to the supermarket, and I went to the LCBO, which is next door. Now, it's very important to bear in mind at this point that when parking in the parking lot, for the first time in my life, I used a family space. And I feel perfectly justified in doing so because, temporarily, I have my family. Admittedly, the child isn't mine, but I don't believe the stipulations are that severe to demand that the child has to be yours in the car that you're using to park in the family space. So parked in the family space. I'll tell you where. The Great Canadian Superstore. Yeah, that's where I went shopping. So, I go next door to the LCBO to get the booze, right? My mum, my sister and my nephew, who has just pooed himself, because that's all he does. I don't know if he's got an incontinence problem or if this is normal. But he just keeps pooing. Anyway, I digress. Anyway, my mum, my sister and the baby, who's just pooed himself, are now in the supermarket, right? So I'm walking back with the wine to the car and I'm putting it in the trunk. And then a woman who has a baby and is parked in a regular space looks at me with a very evil look. And I know what she's thinking, and I totally understand what she's thinking. She's thinking, who's this guy? He hasn't got a family, right? He's all on his own, and he's parked in that family space. His stupid car, his obnoxious car, and now, look at him. He's probably an alcoholic, isn't he? Look at him. He's got three bottles of wine, and he's putting them in the trunk. What on earth? And I could see her thinking this, and I thought, I don't know what to do. Like, is it really my place now to defend myself and my actions when they are entirely just? It's an incredible philosophical paradox, but I decided the best thing I could possibly do was just say, I've got a kid. I've got a kid. And I haven't. So I'm now lying. Right, I've got a kid. He's in the supermarket. And I call myself Sunday thinking, no, I haven't. I've got a kid, you know. He's in the... And then I don't know what she thought about that. I don't know if she thought, well, maybe he goes to get booze while he sends the kid in to buy the meat and potatoes. I don't know how it works. I don't know. So I just walked off. I've got a kid. Yeah. Stick that in your pipe and smoke it. It's November the 5th, which means it's Guy Fawkes Day. And if you're not sure who Guy Fawkes is, you're very much forgiven. In 1604, Guy Fawkes became involved in a small group of English Catholics who planned to assassinate the Protestant king by blowing up Parliament. Yes. And ever since then, in England, Guy Fawkes Day has been celebrated. It's been commemorated in England since November the 5th, 1605. What it was, he was essentially a terrorist. I mean, there's no other way of putting it. He wanted to blow up Parliament. He had a load of gunpowder underneath Parliament in big barrels. And he had a slow-burning match that was just about to light. And his plan was foiled. And as a result, England didn't have its Parliament blown up. But it nearly did. Very much nearly. Now, he, of course, was burnt to the stake. And as a result, Guy Fawkes Day has been commemorated in England ever since. And what it involves, of course, is masses of fireworks, as one would expect, but also massive bonfires that go on in various little towns and villages across England, and they put an effigy of Guy Fawkes on the fire. So I remember as a kid, I used to make a guy out of clothing and stuff. Basically, you stuff old clothes with newspaper. You make a paper mache head at school, and then you put this thing in a wee baby buggy, wheel it down the road, and throw it on a fire. Fantastic. And I remember at school, we were all taught this following line. Remember, remember, the 5th of November, the gunpowder treason and plot. I know no reason why the gunpowder treason should ever be forgot. Yeah. And I must say, as an Englishman living here in Canada, I have to say that I miss Britain on this day, and I miss the British tradition of throwing a guy on the fire. It's a wonderful night out, and it'll be a crazy party in England tonight. This is very much a smell of baked potatoes, the whiz and pop of fireworks muffled in the damp November air, and the most British part of it all, the outdoor binge drinking with a complete disregard for authority. Fantastic. So happy Guy Fawkes Day to you.
Brian Adams and Mel C when you're gone.
Well, we've just done Brian Adams.
Oh, did you? Blind Melon and Rain?
Okay.
What, do you always... You're not going to play it, are you?
Yeah, if you
no,
like.
No, you're not.
Oh, Captain Pessimistic. You're not even listening to the radio.
I am.
Well, you must have heard that I've just played Summer of 69 from Bryan Adams then.
But that's nothing to do with the song I wanted. Oh, bite me, what?
That's my best argument. Here it comes. People that have been taking part in Movember may be interested to know that there's a new kind of razor out. It's not available yet here in Canada, but it's available in Japan. It has five razor blades in it. Five. How ridiculous is this getting? Right, I'm not an old fella by any means, but I remember when I started shaving, it was one blade deal. And then someone, I think it was probably Gillette, said it would be a good idea to have two blades. And I'm with them on that, because it did make a bit of a closer shave, I must admit. And then all the supermarkets went, what, two? Two? They're doing two? Who's doing two? Gillette's doing two? Let's do two on our own brands. Okay. So Gillette had a marketing meeting and they said, three? It's not going to be ridiculous, is it? Don't think so. Right, three it is. Mac 3, we'll call it. Let's go. Three, three, they're doing three? They're doing three now? Three? Okay, let's do three, said the supermarkets. Gillette then did four, and I can't remember what it's called. Is it the Mac 4? I don't know. Probably far more cleverer title than that. But anyway... They're doing four. At that point, I said, right, I'm not moving any further. I'm happy with my three. I'm not removing my head. Three blades will do. And indeed, it seems that the market's cooled down recently, and Gillette, in their wisdom, have stuck with a four blade. But no! Now it's not Gillette that are, excuse the pun, losing their head. It's someone in Japan who've now stuffed five razor blades in a razor. No beard is that much like a rhododendron bush. Really good weekend, actually. I just wanted to share with you Saturday night. That was particularly of interest. I went to the Chateau Cartier, which is just over on the Gatineau side. It's a large historic chateau, of which is a very high-end hotel, good for functions and stuff. And, of course, there's a golf club there and all the usual stuff you would expect in the higher circles of society. I don't know what the hell I was doing there. Been asked to a restaurant that's on the bottom floor of the hotel. It's a Brazilian-themed restaurant. The food was very good, I have to say. The entire evening was exceptional. I had a wonderful time. I was with about 20 of my friends. It was one of my very good friends' birthdays. And there we were, minding our own. It's a kind of buffet-style thing going on there, of course, with a Brazilian edge. So a lot of fine meat. Brahma was the beer of choice on the evening, which is fine by me. Pretty much at the end of my meal... when things got a bit weird, like, I was probably had just a couple of things left on my plate, and without any warning whatsoever, three women dressed up with huge head regalia, as if they'd just walked out of the front line of the Rio Carnival, came dancing through the doors, and the music just burst out loud. I'll see if I can find some. Here we go. Kind of like this business. Hey! So imagine this, you're having your meal... You're like, what on earth's this? They come out. And they're gorgeous. They're absolutely... Woohoo! How you doing? Even my female friends were like, bitch. It was amazing. And they knew how to dance. Of course, there was samba dancing, which involves moving the body in a very quick gyratory way. And then they grabbed me. Oh, that wasn't good. Looking at the entire table, they realised that I was probably the closest to finished. So I don't know what on earth... they thought they were doing, but they grabbed me and another couple of random people from another couple of tables and dragged me up to the dance floor. So I've got, there's like 120 people in the room and 20 of them are my friends, and here I am being dragged up by two extremely beautiful women wearing essentially sequin-clad bikinis with headgear on, dragging me towards the stage. I've said nothing! And in my mind, I'm thinking I could be timid and get waltzed around like a rag doll in a food blender, displaying the characteristics of a weak man, lost, dazed and confused, because that's actually how I feel. Or I could be flamboyant and confident and strut around there with high kicks and a smiling face of a man having a wild time in bed. Because many years ago... I think it was 2003... So I can't remember. Anyway, 2000 and something... I was in Brazil, and someone attempted to teach me how to dance samba. So I was like, if I just remember that, it'll probably be fine. So I went for option B, and I flamboyantly and confidently strutted up there with one woman on one side and one on the other. And I remember her going, God, you look like you know what you're about to do. And I thought, no, you got that a bit wrong. At which point I thought, I don't actually know how to dance. I can't see any reason other than to display the characteristics of an idiot and do the can-can. At which point I grabbed one on one side, one on the other, turned to the audience and got the two women to do the can-can with me. And it was at this point I thought, I think I might be drunk. And I looked back at my table and people were laughing, so I think it went quite well. You know when you do things like this and then you sit down and you just think, I don't even know what just happened. I'll just eat this carrot.